noticed. It's in you. You're taught it. You do competitive sport. You want to win. And then Jesus comes along and says, here's what true greatness is. It is to love the least. And it changes everything. Because now we have to change our goals. We have to change the way we live. We have to now look to love. We have to now look for the least so we can love the least. Matthew 25 was read out, and Mark, amazing job, just really capturing the heart of that. I honor that. I love it when someone reads the word, and as they read it, they believe it, and they move with that. But Matthew 25, there's a few interesting parts in there that I'll just go straight to. Verse 35 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food." I feel like this is just like Jesus, how he picked up that child and said, love the least. And now on the greatest day, the great day of the Lord, when he's dividing the sheep, the left from the right, the sheep and the goats, he's now going to announce to everyone, you were wrong! It wasn't about being the greatest! It wasn't about hanging out with the greatest! This is what it was about! He's announcing to everybody at once, this is what it's about! It's about loving the least, and he says this, I was hungry and you gave me food. Who is the thirsty? I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Who is the stranger? I was a stranger and you welcomed me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And when you did it for the least, you did it for me. Wow. At that moment, there's going to be this massive, oh, what? Happen as people realize they live for the wrong thing. And now they'll realize why they weren't happy, why they were so unfulfilled, that the true meaning of life is actually to love the least, that the true meaning of life is to love God, to love others. It'll be this great aha moment and God will be glorified. When you feed, welcome, visit, clothe, love the least, you love Jesus. I often think, how much of my life is just a show? And how much of my life is actually loving Jesus? And an easy way, if you want to love Jesus more, is to just find the least where no one's going to look at you and go, wow, you did that. And just love them. And that's a wonderful way to love Jesus. To love the Father. To love the Trinity. To love them. Point two. To love the least is to love Jesus. I'm going to finish today, a bit later, with a video. And I showed this video to my son. I want to share just Pete's response. After I showed this video to him, this was Pete's response. I said, Pete, what did you think of video? He goes, yeah, it's good. He said to me, I want to give my money to the children that aren't sponsored. I said, okay. He take my hand. So he took my hand and he goes, let's go find my money jar. And he took me around to his room and we found his money jar. And since he was two, every time there was like a coin in the house, we let him just have it and put it in his money jar, teach him to save. And he never spent anything in it. But he'd always, every time he'd see a coin, can I have this coin? And we'd be like, yeah, Pete, you can have it. And he'd go put it in and he'd feel great. And he goes, he finds it and we crack it open on the couch and all these coins are there, way more than I'd realized. And he says to me, he takes every coin and says, I want to give them this one. I want to give them this one. And there's about 30 coins. I want to give them this one and this one. And he said, with every single coin. I said, Pete, there's $32.55 here. That's a lot of money. Do you want to give all of it? He said, yes. I said, Pete, why do you want to give it to these children? And this is his response. Pete said, there's a child. He said, because I love them. Because I love them. This is the kingdom of God. This is greatness. To just love the least, to give and to love and to pour out. Isaiah 61, which Rick read out, verse 1 to 4, I love this. I love it when Jesus starts his ministry and there was this great expectation that Jesus was going to be the great one. He was going to be the one who came in and told Caesar where it's at. He was going to be the one who all the other blokes were like, he's the man, I'm going to follow him. But he came to change that. He came to change the way men think about what is greatness, the way women think about what is greatness. And he starts his ministry just summing up the kingdom of God and what us as Christians are to follow him in. Listen to this. Jesus comes up and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Amazing. To bring the gospel to the poor. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion." I love this because now Jesus talks about not just loving them, but how his love transforms them. And this is really what compassion works to do. Is to the love of Christ to transform a child in poverty. They would be discipled. Listen to this, because this is what children need. This is what the naked and those in jail, those in prison need. This is what the least need. Not to stay the least, but to be transformed. He says this. "To give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The garment of praise instead of the faint spirit. That they would be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he would be glorified." Jesus died on the cross to break poverty, to bring resurrection life to children so they can be transformed, so they don't have to live in the same cycle that their parents lived in. Jesus discipled 12 and then released them and they changed the world. We can take children in the Philippines, disciple them and release them. It's so God not to go find the greatest people in the Philippines and go, "I'm going to work with these because they're great and everyone loves them and I'm going to change them." It's so God to go, "I'm going to find the least. I'm going to disciple them. I'm going to love them. I'm going to transform them and they are going to confound the wise because this is the kingdom of God. This is the way Christ works. This is the death and the resurrection." My point three is this. The same spirit that was on Jesus to bring good news to the poor is the same spirit that is upon us. The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that is upon us to say, "I don't want you just to love the poor. I want to give you wisdom to love the poor. I want to give you the word of God to love the poor. I want to put my spirit on you as you pray for the poor." When we sponsor children, for our family, it's not, okay, I'm going to appease my conscience and sign $48 a month so this child has schooling, healthcare, discipleship, education, everything they need. It's, we are invested in this. Our hearts are invested. They are part of our prayer life. We're going to write them letters. We're going to give them the word of God. "Here's a Bible verse for you, Cleaser. Alex John, here's a Bible verse for you. We love you. We believe in you. God is with you. We're praying for you." And it's for a child in poverty to know that there's someone on the other side of the world who believes in them and loves them and is sowing into them and discipling them. Plus their local church is doing it with them together. That raises up and gives a child every chance they need that before was stolen from them through poverty. This is a picture of Rodolin. Let me share her story. She's from the Philippines. The same area where we're focused on today. She was sponsored and came to the Compassion Program at a local church. She said this, "Whatever I learned from the center, I would go and teach to my students." So she'd go to the center, then she'd come back to where she lives in the slums. She'd gather the children around her from the slums. She'd start to teach them what she learned. First, she started with the songs. She'd go back and teach them all the songs. Father Abraham had many sons. Just sets of songs. Like I was in the Philippines and I was in the church and there was like 100 kids just from the slums just doing Father Abraham and I was in there with them. It was wonderful. And she's teaching them the songs and then she starts to teach them the word of God as well. She says, "My focus is to lead kids to Christ." By the time Rodolin was 11, she had led 23 of her friends to know Christ. This is just a child in poverty in the slums who someone decided, "Yeah, I'll sponsor that child. She was pretty cute. I'll sponsor her. I'll give my money to give her education and healthcare." And it's 23 kids. This is what her caseworker at a local church said. She's no ordinary girl. She's an agent of transformation. And this is what Isaiah 61 is about. They transform the poor. Jesus wants to transform them so they can transform their communities. Isaiah 61 verse 4 says this, listen to this carefully. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Jesus is saying, I'm here to die and to rise again, to break poverty in the least, so they can come up and they can change the nations. And we at Compassion realize that it's not education that's going to change your land only. It is the kingdom of God. It's discipleship. That's why we work through local churches. Rodlin said this, the most wonderful thing that happened to me was when both my parents accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Life has never been the same. Just change your community, but her parents are changed now. That's so much for a little girl. It's so much for Cleesa that his mum's become a Christian because we sponsored him as well. It's changing his family. Michelle. I met Michelle in the Philippines. And this is my last story. Actually, no, I met her in Perth. She came over. We brought her across to share. She's Filipino. She told me this. And this is reality, okay? This is a little bit different, but this is reality for the slums. She said to me, when I was a little girl, my parents said to me, you're ugly. You're going to be a thief, a drug addict, or a prostitute. That's what you're going to be. That's what they told her. The people who were supposed to love her told her that. She was sponsored. And when she came to the program, she was told that she was loved and that she was beautiful. The person was writing her letters. I said, what are you doing now? She said, since 2008, I've been working to get prostitutes off the streets and give them their own jobs. She was told she'd be a prostitute, but the kingdom of God came into her life. She's now releasing prostitutes. This is what Isaiah 61 is all about. This is what the death and the resurrection of Christ is all about. It's to change us so we can change our worlds. To change a child the least so they can change the world. Don't look for the greatest man or the greatest woman to go and change the world. Look for a child and love them and love them and disciple them and care for them. I said, Michelle, how many prostitutes have you rescued since 2008? And she looked down like this at me. I remember she put her head down ashamed. And she said to me, only 115. I said, that's amazing! 115! They've got their own jobs. You lead them to the Lord. You disciple them. She said to me, there's another 100,000 in my community in the Philippines. There's another 100,000. This is the great need for the church to rise up and love the least. I love this because she puts a radio station on. This is what happens when you take someone into poverty and you give them the gospel. She puts a radio station on once a month. She gets the local pastor's kids to come together and to read Bible verses and give the gospel by telling stories from the Bible. I said, how many people listen to your radio station? She said, 500,000. I said, 500,000 a year? That's amazing. No, she said, once a week, we have 500,000 children listening to our radio station. I don't do it on TV, I do it on the radio, because children in poverty only have the radio. A girl who's told you to be a prostitute now has now, once a week, given the gospel to 500,000 children in the Philippines. One little girl who was sponsored. This is what the gospel does. This is not what compassion does. This is what the gospel does. That's why compassion works through the local church, only through evangelical, gospel-focused churches. What we're going to do now to finish off is, I've taken a photocopy at the back there on the table. I've got these forms if you want to sponsor a child, but I've photocopied them so that we can spend a moment praying for the Philippines. I want us to pray as a church, as one church for that nation. We're going to pray for these children. Let's pray that they would be released from poverty, that they would be discipled, that they would know God, that their families would come to know God. They would not just be connected to local churches, but they would make a response to know Him. Let's pray that they would then transform their families and the communities. So I ask you now, for the next moment, just quietly in your seat, let's take a moment just to pray for these children. Because God answers prayers. Because God answers prayers. Let's pray for these children. Jesus. Lord, do great things in these children. We bless them, we love them, we pray, Lord, make them oaks of righteousness. Transform them, Lord. Put a beautiful headdress upon their heads, Lord. A garment of praise, Lord. We bless them, Lord. We bless them, we bless them in Jesus' name. We pray for the Philippines, where there is such a need for protection for these children. We pray they would be protected and loved, God. We pray you would unite the church, Lord, across the world to love the poor, to bring the gospel to the poor, to love, to love, to love. Amen. If you do want to sponsor, I'll just share quickly how easy it is. It takes a couple of minutes to change a child's life. Roz and I will be at the back. Come to us, grab a form, just fill out. It's $48 a month or $11 a week. Obviously, you get something back on tax if you pay tax. You can buy them a birthday gift or a Christmas gift once a year if you like. You can also add that on there as well. You just put your details in, your church details, your bank details, give it back to us. We'll get it processed. And I encourage you, for some of you, it's not the right time, it's not the right season. But for some of you, it is the right season to sponsor a child and to love them. For some of us, it's the right season to sponsor 5 children, 10 children. That's the reality of it for us. But it's what knowing where you're at and what God's moving your heart to do. And we honour that. There's no pressure. But there is definitely great opportunity to see. I encourage you that if God's moving your heart, do it. Do it. Do it. You won't ever look back and go, oh, I regret sponsoring that kid for those years. Oh, I should have spent my money on something else. You'll never regret it. If God's moving your heart, just do it. He's with you. He'll grace you. We'll then send you out a kit in the next few weeks. And in that kit, you'll get like a letter writing kit. And we ask you to write your first letter to the child. Don't wait 10 years to write the first letter. Get the kit from us. Write a letter. Take a photo of your family. Print it out on your printer. Doesn't have to be good quality. Just print it out. Give him a photo of who you are. Tell him you're praying for him. Tell him you love him. Give him a Bible verse. Here's my favorite Bible verse. Here's one I've memorized. Why don't you memorize it? Encourage them. Get involved in their discipleship. Bless them. And if you ever want to, honestly, you can visit them. It doesn't cost much to go to fly to the Philippines and visit a child and meet them for a day and just love on them. That's totally up to you. Not many do it, but the option's there. I know I'm going to finish with this last video, okay? So this is one that I showed to Pete, and he was like, oh, I want to give, you know, everything I've got to these children. And I just encourage you, like, it's a little girl, find out she's been sponsored from Indo, and this is similar to the Philippines. This is what it's like for a child. They see and they know what it's like. When a child in poverty sees other children sponsored, it changes everything. This is a little girl finding out. So thank you for having us. We bless you guys. It's wonderful to be here. And, yeah, here's the video.
Baik, terima kasih fungsi papandata anak untuk mengetahui anak-anak yang terdaftar di PTA, berapa seluruhnya, berapa yang dapat sponsor, dan berapa yang belum punya sponsor.
Dengan dapat sponsor, saya sakit hati karena tidak dapat sponsor.
Setiap kali dia berkata sama saya, bagaimana saya, mama, anak-anak yang lain sudah dapat sponsor, saya belum dapat. Dan saya, mama, berdoa juga, tapi saya tidak pernah dapat. Tumbuh anak, tidak mampu. Nanti Tuhan yang atur anak, saya bilang gitu sama dia.
Tiga, empat bulan ke depan, bahwa anak-anak ini akan memiliki sponsor melalui tangan-tangan Tuhan untuk menjamah hati para yang punya, yang bisa peduli kepada anak. Tuhan akan memberikan yang terbaik buat keluarga ini. Ada sukacita, Asti, keluarganya Asti mendapat sponsor, dan ini surat dari sponsor yang buat Asti.
Boleh Asti buka.
Terima kasih banyak.
bawa anak saya baik, saya kasih masuk PPA. Saya kali ini saya bangga sekali, tapi Tuhan yang balas. Saya tidak mampu balas, tapi Tuhan yang balas. Tidak pernah saya mimpi bahwa sponsornya Aki hari ini ada, tapi saya bangga sekali hingga saya jatuh air mata. Terima kasih banyak, berlimpah-limpah.
Senang. Mereka, anak-anak itu merasa dekat dengan sponsornya, dan jadi ketika mereka menceritakan isi surat seperti itu, anak-anak merasa luar biasa bahwa itu tidak bisa dibayangin seperti itu.
Namaku Rini dan aku senang menjadi sponsormu.
Mungkin pikirnya ya sekedar komunikasi saja, tetapi lebih daripada itu, kedekatannya lebih dekat sekali. Dan saya berterima kasih kepada Tuhan yang bisa memberikan sponsor kepada anak sebagai anak dan bapa, dan saya berterima kasih kepada Compassion sebagai jembatan yang dapat menghubungkan yang ada di seberang bisa menjadi satu. Itu kebanggaan saya, dan saya merasa senang sekali.
Thank you, Steve. I can certainly empathise with your comments beforehand that there's no job in which you cry as much. I suspect I'd last about 15 minutes in your office without being a blubbering mess, possibly less. Steve actually invited me to make some comments in response. And that's hard because there's actually an enormous amount of things that I would like to say. You can't read the Gospels without hearing Jesus' heart of love and compassion for the lost and the hurting. And it all goes, you know, it's along those lines. But I thought I would come back to this. When Jesus is asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets, all the other things that God wants you to do to live his way, hang on these two commandments. And, well, for somebody like Claudia or Beth or Mel, others in the church, they're easy. They're our neighbours. And we're called to love them and care for them. How are the people in the Philippines my neighbour? Well, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is a neighbour. Not by virtue of their birth or their geographical location or their socioeconomic status or anything else, but for the fact that they were there, they could see the need, and they had the opportunity to do something about it. So if I'm serious about this, then those people are my neighbours too. And as a father with kids about that age, to love my neighbour as myself means caring for those kids and them being important as well as my kids. Now, Steve said something very wise. This isn't for everyone. I don't want you to feel under pressure. There are many, many ways in which we can love our neighbours and so many good things that we can do, but we can't do everything. This won't be for everyone here. But compassion is one good way that we can make a difference. And so if you, God has placed that on your heart, and I would ask you to prayerfully consider that, then please do see Steve and Rosalind at the table at the back and look about what you can do to make a difference through compassion. So again, don't feel that there's anything that you have to do, but it is an opportunity that is there for you today if you want to take it. And we're going to close the service now by singing one last song, Mighty to Save, which not coincidentally starts with the line, "Everyone needs compassion." But not our compassion, not even Compassion Australia. They need God's compassion. They need the compassion that saves. So let's stand and sing.